This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to week 15 of the official Raiders podcast. I'm your host, JT. Sunday Night Football, December 17th, 2017, 5:30 Pacific, as the Dallas Cowboys come into Oakland to take on the Silver and Black. Really big game. This is a game a lot of Raider fans had circled heading into the holiday season when the schedule came out. An opportunity to see the vaunted Dallas Cowboys coming off their 13-win season last year, as the Raiders had won 12 games last year. The Dallas Cowboys come in on a two-game winning streak. They just beat the New York Giants last week 30-10 in a game where they started to kick it in. They found their second gear for the Dallas Cowboys as they, like the Raiders, are playing with their back up against the wall. Both of these teams are now playing what should be playoff games, but in the regular season. These games coming up are elimination games for both the Oakland Raiders and the Dallas Cowboys, and we'll see which team brings their A game. Very disappointing loss for the Raiders last Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium to the Kansas City Chiefs in a game where I was quite surprised the Raiders got blown out by Kansas City. They were down 26-0 in that game. They were never in that game. They scored 15 points in the fourth quarter to try to make it competitive, but that was all about Kansas City, their preparation, and their ability to outplay the Silver and Black. I think Jack Del Rio summed up the performance perfectly.
All right, here's what I know is players and coaches, we are as frustrated and pissed off about what occurred yesterday as you can be, as anybody out there is. So losing a game like that hurts, and there are no words that I can say here today that are going to take away that pain or make those that care about the Raiders feel better. So I'm really not going to try.
I don't believe I played a more impactful soundbite on the podcast all year than that. That kind of sums up everything for Jack Del Rio. It's been a struggle the entire year, getting draft picks healthy and ready to play, injuries, the injury to Derek Carr, trying to field the competitive team and get out there and put game plans together against really good opponents. And the Raiders have struggled all year long. They cannot get into a rhythm. They needed to get into a rhythm against Kansas City. And the disappointing fact was they did not play a good game in a game that they had to win. So for the Raiders now, they have their back up against the wall. The Raiders are a long shot to get into the playoffs the rest of the way with a tough schedule against Dallas, Philadelphia, and the Chargers. If they can win out and the Chargers beat the Chiefs this Saturday night and then the Chiefs lose one more game, the Raiders would win a tiebreaker with the Chargers at 9-7, thanks to going all the way to the strength of victory tiebreaker. So again, that's pretty tough to do. But Jack Del Rio should have this team ready as they're playing an elimination game. It's the last home game of a really tough and emotional season here. And as I just threw out to you, they got to run the table and get some help the rest of the way. So we're going to know a lot by Sunday night. And hopefully the Chargers go out and beat the Chiefs, and then the Raiders will even have that much more to play for. But again, a disappointing loss at Kansas City, and the Raiders have no time other than just prepare for the Cowboys and hopefully bring their A game. I think they will in this game for a number of reasons. As I mentioned, it's the last home game of the year. It's on national television, and they really need to show up. They need to show up because the fans are going to be there. It's a big game. It's an expensive ticket, and a lot of fans have had this ticket for a while hoping that this game would matter. I just want to mention with the defense needs to fly around and start making some plays. They can't worry about making mistakes. They need to go all out in this game and get to Dak Prescott. You know, this is a pretty solid offense for the Dallas Cowboys, and the best players on the Raider defense, they need to take over this game and let everything fly. On the Raiders offense, as Coach Del Rio said earlier this week, just need to let it rip also on offense. Dominate the line of scrimmage. And Derek Carr can't worry about throwing interceptions. Just get it in the hands to the best players downfield. And the Raiders have to execute this offense the way it's drawn up. And the running game with Marshawn Lynch should help out a lot. I think this Marshawn Lynch running game is running violently, and I think if Lynch can run the ball and keep Dak Prescott on the sidelines and win that time of possession, the Raiders will be in the game in the fourth quarter. Special teams needs to play better. I think kickoff coverage and punt coverage is going to be really important, needs to be solid in this game. And the Raiders need the Raider fans to be loud and disruptive to the Cowboys. It's the responsibility of the Raiders to give the Raider fans something to cheer about early in this game. And I think the Raiders are going to play with a lot of enthusiasm, speed, and have a great chance to win this game and still have something to play for as we get ready for Philadelphia next week. So, looking at the Cowboys, Sean Lee is back. He's coming off a game where he had 18 tackles, 10 solo tackles. Dak Prescott has had back-to-back games. Still no Zeke Elliott in this game for the Dallas Cowboys, but they were able to rush the ball at a high level last week. Dallas comes into this game with a rushing offense that's very impressive. Third overall in the NFL, 137 yards a game. So they're going to be a balanced team. Dak Prescott's playing at a high level. Dez Bryant is getting off, and they're able to run the football. So the Raider defensive line's got to play big. They got to stop the run, and that secondary has got to make a couple of big plays. But again, burn the tape against Kansas City. Forget about that one. And hopefully the energy level is super high for the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night. Let's kick off this week's edition of the Official Raiders Podcast with a coach who has a Super Bowl victory and now a premier analyst with NFL Network. We welcome Brian Billick to the Official Raiders Podcast. Coach, thanks a lot for coming on. Let's get right into it. What improvements did you see from Dak Prescott over the past few weeks?
Well, they've run the ball better, even without Ezekiel Elliott. Prior to the last couple of weeks, you know, it was all going to fall on Dak Prescott's shoulder. They realized, you know, teams were going to configure themselves to get very loose in their coverage. Basically play zone, saying, okay, show us you can run, and we're just not going to let you throw the ball down the field. And they struggled with that. But now the last couple games, they've been able to get the running game cranked up. That brings guys down to the box to get more of the one-on-one matchups outside. And he's not in a 40-45 throw game. They keep a 25-30 throw game, then obviously that fits the MO that the way the Dallas Cowboys want to play.
Coach, when you look at his athletic ability, and we'll get to Derek Carr in a second, the way that Dak Prescott can make plays with his legs, and then he has a tight end in Jason Witten who just knows how to get open. There are so many teams that don't go to the tight end, but the Cowboys are disciplined enough to always look over the middle of the field, and Witten always seems to be open or trying to get open.
Well, and you're talking about having a future Hall of Fame tight end. There's no question that's where Jason Witten's going to end up. And that's really the development of a young quarterback really is about him understanding how he can utilize that tight end. And to have one like Witten is a huge asset. And, of course, to be able to run around and make some plays on third down with your legs the way he can is just that added element. And he's capable of beating you from the pocket. He needs a little more help. He's had a lot of drops on the outside by Dez Bryant and Cole Beasley and Williams. So they've got to be more consistent. But certainly Jason Witten is a go-to guy for him, particularly on third down.
Brian Billick's our guest. Coach, let's get to drops for a second. Dating back to the Bill Walsh principles, which you came up with, and you being a head coach of a Super Bowl team, how did you deal with drops when guys would just drop multiple balls or every game you knew there was probably going to be a drop? How do you fix that in film study and especially out on the practice field?
Well, that's tough. I mean, I always used to tell my guys, only half jokingly, look, I can pay anybody to drop a football. You know, I can literally go out in the street and have someone come in and drop a football. So, you know, you got to be a professional. But then you got to give them something, whether it's certain drills. I always used to guys that would have trouble getting that kind of rhythm, kind of like a golfer, you know, where you try to distract them. I would get them on a speed bag, maybe get them juggling a little bit, just to get that hand-eye focus and that coordination someplace else, and then obviously in the practice. But you're right, that's a killer. A drop ball, it's like a penalty within a drive. It just kills a drive.
How do you think the Cowboys have handled the loss of Ezekiel Elliott? Obviously, Jerry Jones wanted to wait as long as possible, appeal, appeal, appeal. He was able to stay on the field. Then they lose him for that long amount of games, and now they're fighting for their lives every week. The playoffs have started for the Cowboys.
Yeah, they have, and it's a bit of a stretch to think they're going to be able to make the playoffs. Like any team, you've got to treat it just like an injury. A lot of teams around the league have had to deal with injuries. We're just now getting an Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay, and they're on the edge of the playoffs. They're getting Aaron Rodgers back. They're going to get Ezekiel Elliott back. You prepare your team for that during training camp. You know you're going to lose a good player or players during the course of the season. You don't want the players to panic and think that it's an all of a sudden, oh, my God, what do we do now? It's that proverbial next man up. Now, the next man's not going to be as good. Otherwise, he would be the next man. And that's just something that you mentally and emotionally have to be able to handle during the course of the season.
Brian Billick's our guest. Coach, a comment on Sean Lee and how special of a linebacker he is in this league for the Cowboys.
Huge, huge. And you can see the difference in that defense, a little like we saw in Pittsburgh with the loss of Ryan Shazier. It's huge difference in terms of when you lose that quarterback of the defense, so to speak. The defense, his ability to roam in the middle, to scrape off blocks, to match up one-on-one, huge difference, huge asset to have him back in the lineup.
We move to the Raiders. Coach, let's start with big picture. You look at this team and you know a lot of their coaches, from Mike Tice to Jack Del Rio to Rod Woodson there in the secondary. What do you think's been the core issue for the Silver and Black and their struggles this year?
They just have not been able to get any rhythm. You know, on offensively, you talk about drop passes on the outside, whether, you know, Amari Cooper had drops for a while. Obviously, the injury to Derek Carr, they kind of got out of rhythm in terms of the running game. Defensively, they seemed to get out of sync, weren't able to mount the pass rush that you thought they would, obviously, with a Khalil Mack. So it's just, you know, it's check a box off on each of them. There's times that they've been able to kind of get it together, but they haven't been able to consistently do it. Been a tough season for them, but they know the talent's there. A little like Jacksonville, I think when everybody last year thought Jacksonville was going to break out, didn't, was a tough year. They were able to find that stride this year. I think Oakland should probably be in that same category going into next year.
Coach, take us back in the day when you were a young play caller and maybe some of the concerns and issues that Todd Downing's going through. Bill Musgrave let go. They didn't want to lose Todd Downing. They elevate him from quarterback coach to stay with Carr to offensive coordinator. He's not even through his first year. The criticism is real heavy on him. Jack Del Rio stood by his offensive coordinator this week. How tough of a situation is he in his first year trying to help Carr find rhythm?
It is tough because that's your job as a coach. And to quote my partner here at the NFL Network in Mike Robinson, as he always says, this is a game not a game of X's and O's. It's a game of Jimmy and Joe's. And at the end of the day, your Jimmys and Joes have to play well. Now, you got to put them in position to do what they do best. You got to help them out. But at the end of the day, there's only so far that you're going to do. So far, you can go with play calling and schematics. And when it doesn't go well, you're going to get the heat as the coach.
I think this is a perfect question for you because you had great running backs in Baltimore and quarterbacks who could make plays and obviously a great defense. What do you do if you're the Raiders and you have Marshawn Lynch and he's running violently now, he's running hard, his legs seem to be underneath him, but the Raiders are getting behind in games like this last game in Kansas City where they almost have to abandon the run and go with the pass to get back into these games. The balance with Marshawn Lynch, in your opinion?
Yeah, a lot of people I don't think realize in order to be a good running team, you got to play good defense. You got to earn the right to be able to run the ball, get to that 30, 35th, 40th run. And a lot of that has not only to do with your ability to run the ball, but can you play good defense? Otherwise, you all of a sudden get behind the chains, and you're down by 10, you're down by 14, and now you've got the clock is working against you, and it forces you out of the run game. You don't want it to. You try to keep that balance. So there's a very definite connection between the running game and playing good defense.
Former Super Bowl head coach Brian Billick joins us as we wrap it up. He's now an NFL Network analyst. You can see him every Wednesday on NFL Playbook at 3 p.m. Pacific. Coach, when you look at the film of Khalil Mack, he shows up in the stats, but obviously he's getting double-teamed all the time. He's excellent at stopping the run, but he's an edge rusher. Can you compare him to former players in the history of this league, and who do you think he's on pace to eventually become?
Well, he's a dynamic player. You know, I had some pretty good ones, obviously, in Baltimore. Most recently, it was Terrell Suggs. That kind of dominant player. Doesn't get enough credit for how they handle the run. Terrell Suggs was very good against the run. Terrell Suggs now, Terrell's 36, 37 years old, still coming off that edge. Unbelievable he's having the level of productivity. Khalil Mack has that kind of physical ability and that kind of impact.
Coach, last one. How do you coach a game like this? You've been in it before where you're mathematically still in it, but you got to run the table with three games left. What do you say to your team the week leading up to that in preparation? Do you rah-rah on game day? What do you do to get the guys to play their best game? Because the Dallas Cowboys are getting it. They've played back-to-back solid games, and the Raiders are struggling coming off that loss at Arrowhead.
Just play. Just focus on your preparation. And day-to-day, that's all what it is. Attention to detail. You're watching. Are the players focused? Are, you know, little things like is the locker room a little messier than usual? Are they not busting their trays in the dining hall? are the tapes not coming off the shelf, or now the iPads, I guess, is the way they do it, the way they normally should. You're looking for the little telltale signs. They'll want to play well on game day, but do they want to prepare well during the week and keep that same level of focus? That's where you've got to keep the pedal to the metal, so to speak.
Always appreciate your time, Coach. Thank you so much.
All right, sounds good.
Once again, thanks to Coach Billick. You can always catch him on NFL Network. Good friend of my radio show. And he really wanted to come on the official Raiders podcast and exclusively break down this game. Our next guest is a former Raider, an 8-year NFL vet, a former standout linebacker for the Silver and Black, and now really finding his way as a broadcaster. For all the work he's done in Los Angeles on ESPN Radio and ESPN's college football coverage, friend of the podcast, Kirk Morrison, joins us. And Kirk, getting back to that game against Kansas City, no one saw that coming, especially you.
No, not really. Because going to Arrowhead, a place that I played in throughout my career, it always seems like brought the best out of the Raiders. That was a place that, even though it was one of the loudest places in the NFL, they seemed to come alive and play well. So going into that game, especially with the Chiefs being down Marcus Peters, you would automatically think, hey, the Raiders are definitely going to throw the football. They're going to have some success. They're going to win the football game. I was very surprised by just the way that they play. You get all the way into the fourth quarter and they still have a goose egg on the board. That's not Raider football. You can't be down 26-0 three quarters in. To me, that was a team that just didn't show up. They didn't play well. And that's basically what the season's been looked like. It's been up and down for this team.
As a broadcaster now with ESPN College Football and ESPN Los Angeles, the work you're doing with the Rams, when a team doesn't show up and everything's on the line, people want to point fingers. Jack Del Rio took it hard. Derek Carr after the game said, don't look at coaches, point to me. I thought that was a leadership role from him. But the offense, Kirk, seems to just be struggling. I don't know if it's Downing and the play calling or the fact that it's going to take a year or two for Carr to get comfortable. How do you see it?
Well, it's a multitude of things. I mean, I just can't put it down on one. JT, honestly, I can have a list of things, and I'm trying to figure out which one really outweighs the other. You can start with the first thing is the continuity between the play caller and the quarterback. I mean, Todd Downing was not the offensive coordinator last year. It was Bill Musgrave. So he elevated from a quarterback's coach into now being the offensive coordinator. It's a different flow. It is a much different flow that you have to get and understand, you know, what the quarterback likes, what he's thinking. And you take away that chemistry that Bill Musgrave and Derek Carr had, you know, had going for the last couple seasons, it's going to take some time to get used to. That's one thing. But what about the injury to Derek Carr? And I know Derek's probably never going to tell you, but how healthy is he? You know, how healthy is he? Because some of those balls that he threw, I've seen him make some better throws than that. You know, and I've seen him, some guys help him out a little bit better than that as well. So it's been a multitude of drops. And it's the biggest thing for me, JT, is that how do you morph or how do you change? How do you, when teams take away what you're good at, what can you show that, hey, we can do this, we can now do that? I just thought the Raiders' offense came into the season, and then you look at them now as this is what we're going to do, run the football behind this offensive line that hasn't played like it did over the last season, and this is how we're going to beat you. And when you take away that, it's really forced Derek to have to be a passer when last year he was more of a guy that didn't have to make the big play all the time. And that's, I mean, I can list so many things and I can keep going on and on. But to me, I think when you really boil it down, is this is not the same team that we saw a year ago. They don't have that same fight and that same stinger. I felt like they feel like you can show up and we're going to win based off what we did last year. That's not the way the NFL works.
That's outstanding analysis from Kirk Morrison, former Raider. You mentioned Carr and the injury. You know, I'm inside the team. You're inside the team as a former player. We know a lot of people there. It's not all right to sit here and speculate. We're not going to play doctors, but he does not look right. He does not look like he's at 100%. And, Kirk, I've said to the fans, I said, look, this guy got hurt last year. He had an MVP type of season going. He hurts his back this year and instantly comes back for the good of the team. He did not want to wait. He could have taken 3 weeks off, a month off to come back. I give him a lot of credit for trying to get back into this thing and save the season at this point, even though he's not playing at the level we saw him at last year.
Yeah, and that's the hard part because, to me, Derek doesn't have to prove he's a tough guy. I know he's a tough guy. I watch him work. I know the way that he works. He's going to make sure that he dots every I, cross every T. He's going to watch film. He's going to study. He's going to make his adjustments. We know that. But sometimes, you know, and his favorite player is Kobe Bryant. And we've seen Kobe Bryant many times, whether it was a torn Achilles and he walked off the court with a torn Achilles, wasn't carried off. He walked off. That's the mentality that Derek has always had. But sometimes you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, is me not being 100% good for this football team right now? Or should I let EJ Manuel or Connor Cook, someone else, you know, play for right now? Let me get healthy. You don't have to prove it. You've got the contract already. But I think there was just a point in the season where he probably could have took an extra couple weeks off to really get 100%. Because it just, to me, it just his delivery, his just things, it just doesn't feel the same like I saw him earlier in the year or even last season.
Kirk Morrison's our guest. I think the best way I describe Marshawn Lynch all year, it's confusing to a lot of fans because he's running violently, and there are games where they get behind early where they can't run the ball anymore. They have to abandon the run. So correct. Rich Gannon was talking about it on the broadcast, Kirk, about the balance, and he thought that the Raiders should lean on him a little bit more. How do you lean on a guy in a running game when you can't get the passing game going? And to set up the pass with him running, I just see the Raiders throwing away so many second downs where if they try to pass on first down and it's incomplete, it's a handoff into the pile. Now it's third down and all the pressure's on Carr to get a first down. I just see the confusion in the mix and match of what should be the philosophy of this offense. I say Carr, others say Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, and this is what confuses me a little bit, JT, when I watch the Raiders, is that when I look at Marshawn Lynch, what really made him effective, and this is from where I watched his days in Seattle, playing against him there, playing against him when he was in Buffalo. I always thought that Marshawn Lynch was so much better when he had a fullback in front of him. When he had guys in front that can kind of get the lane and he can hit it downhill, he can pick where he wants to go. And to me, I thought that's where he was at his best. With last year, when Derek Carr got injured, when he hurt the finger last year, and he was unable to take snaps from under center, and they became a primarily shotgun offense, I thought that they stuck with that plan because it was successful. But I really thought the roots of how this team could be successful this year is getting back under center, getting and running the football with the fullback in front of him, and letting Marshawn pick and choose his holes. I'm just never been a big fan of the zone run scheme from the shotgun because I feel like it limits you. It limits your play action. It limits your bootleg package, which really I think is effective for Derek when he's on the run, putting pressure on the defense. Is he going to throw it? Is he going to, you know, is he going to keep it? I thought that's what could help out Marshawn Lynch better. And the time that they've done that, I think it's really been effective. It's a downhill power running scheme, not really the zone, you know, sideways running. That's what I think the Raiders have gotten away from, and it does put you in the second and third and long situations, and you're asking a offensive line that, to me, are road baiters. They're not great run blockers. They're not great pass blockers. Can they? Yes, they can, but the reason why they're so mean and tough is because they're great run blockers when they get on guys, not when they're going sideways. So to Rich's point, I think the Raiders can get back to more of that, and they don't have to worry about being in third and longs and second and longs because they're running downhill, which Marshawn Lynch is best at.
Wrapping up with Kirk Morrison, on the defensive side, it's just tough that Gerrion Connolly, with the injuries, couldn't go pretty much for the majority of the year. And the same thing with Obi, who could have been this type of player that you could have put over tight ends and he could have played corner, the safety position, he could do it all. It just seems like we're putting two players on the shelf due to injuries, and that happens in the sport. You played in the league for 8 years,
right?
But it really put the Raiders back because it just seems that, like, the defense just doesn't have enough depth to dominate. They bring in Navarro Bowman. I thought that was a really good move. He's played smart. He's lining up that defense. And a comment from you on Mac, who's not putting up the superstar stats, but we see how good he is when we watch him live in these games.
Boy, he's a great player, but we know that Khalil Mack can't do it all by himself.
Right.
And I thought that the one thing that I think can be a criticism for the Raiders this year defensively is that they didn't upgrade the defense. They really had it the status quo. Look, you made a couple draft picks, but I'll be honest with you, you know, how much can you have an impact, you know, on a on a team as a rookie, like a big impact. You look around the National Football League, outside of, you know, a pass rusher or, you know, a guy like that who can really affect the game, I really thought that the Raiders didn't upgrade the defense, in whether it was free agent signings, whether it was getting somebody up front that can make an impact right away. Gary and Conley was supposed to come in and really play in the slot or maybe move out to the outside. But by him being injured for throughout training camp and most of the season, same thing with Melifonwu, it's the same thing. The two guys who you drafted to make an impact weren't there. And you really saw the lack of depth throughout this team. And when you have lack of depth and you can't hold up on the outside, it's unfortunate that a play from Khalil Mack kind of goes to the wayside, because his number one, I mean, an opponent's number one job is to find 52 where he's at, make sure he doesn't kill our quarterback. And that's what teams have done. Take him out of the game, and we'll max protect there, and we feel like the Raiders' secondary can't hold up, you know, for long periods of time when there's no pass rush.
All right, we always do this. A shout-out to your dad. You were born in Oakland, a Sunday night football, nationally televised game on NBC. I expect the Raiders to show up in this game because, it's their last home game of the year. It's in front of this rabid fan base who put up with a lot this year, and they've been on edge. They want to get this team back to the playoffs. Looking at the Cowboys and what the Cowboys are playing for, it's an elimination game for them also in the NFC without Zeke Elliott. Handicap this game for me.
Well, it's going to be a great game to me, Sunday Night Football, and it's a reason why the NFL didn't flex this game out, because they know it was going to have playoff implications. I look at both sides of it right now. The Raiders are a team that's hungry. Their backs are all the way against the wall. If it wasn't last week, they really are. They know you lose, you're out. So that's the mentality for them. And then on the other side, when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, they're saying, we got one more game till we get Ezekiel Elliott back. We're starting to find our niche a little bit. You know, we found our way. It took us a little bit, but they're getting healthy. They brought Sean Lee back, and he had about 50 tackles, it feels like, last week. So they feel like their defense is whole. They feel like our offense is coming along, and we'll be one more week, you know, until we get Ezekiel Elliott. That's their confidence right now. Their confidence that, hey, we go in, win this game, we feel good about our chances of making the playoffs, and they know they can eliminate the Raiders. So it's going to be a good game. This is where it's going to get chippy. I really believe that, because you have two storied franchises, Raiders, Cowboys. I mean, come on, man. This is going to be a fun one, because there's a lot on the line. This isn't October. This isn't September anymore. We're talking about the end of December and the Raiders and Cowboys playing a meaningful football game. If you don't have an extra helmet, a chin strap, or mouthpiece, man, you better go get one, because I think this is going to be a physical football game, and it's going to be one, I think, at the line of scrimmage. Can the Raiders' offensive line block that front for the Dallas Cowboys? And likewise, same thing, will the Cowboys be able to block, you know, up front and not allow Khalil Mack to change the game?
I know you got a Toys for Tots event with the Raiders coming up. You'll be signing autographs. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'll be at the Raiders, Raiders Image in Las Vegas. You know, as the Raiders start to, you know, get their roots and things and get the foundation laid over in Las Vegas, I'll be down there. I believe Lincoln Kennedy will be there with me as we start to, you know, bring the Raiders to Las Vegas. The Raiders will always, to me, be Oakland Raiders no matter what. But let's be honest, the Raiders are a global brand. They are a global team, and the world deserves to be Raider fans. I know Oakland will always have that, but the world will always be – well, the world can now embrace the silver and black, which I think is a special thing. And I'll be there, be down in Vegas, shaking hands, kissing babies, signing autographs, and, you know, bringing the Raiders to Las Vegas.
Always great to catch up with Kirk Morrison. His dad goes to the games, once a Raider, always a Raider, and he's going to be a part of the Raider family for the rest of his life. Now let's go out to Dallas-Fort Worth, where we are joined by the premier insider for the Dallas Cowboys, been covering the team since 1997 from the Star-Telegram. We welcome Clarence Hill to the official Raiders podcast. Clarence, thanks for coming on, and it feels like a do-or-die game Sunday night in Oakland, and it actually is.
Oh, there's no doubt, and that's kind of the mode the Cowboys have been in the last couple of weeks, to understand that they have to win out to even have a shot at the playoffs, and certainly they can't lose. They can't blink, and even if they win out, they still might not make the playoffs. They have to focus on themselves and do their part by winning out, and they've won two straight games. And now they head to Oakland against a Raiders team that is just as desperate, maybe more desperate than they are after the way they played last week.
With Zeke still being out, what's happened in the last two wins that's building momentum for the Cowboys?
Certainly, Dak has finally found his footing without Zeke as a quarterback, and the offense has established a running game. Finally, been able to establish a running game without Zeke. They have a combination of Alfred Morris and the unknown Rod Smith, who was giving them a running game. They've been able to run the ball throughout games, control the ball, and they've been able to convert third downs with Dak Prescott.
I'm happy you mentioned the running game because, as you know, from a distance, the Raiders are supposed to have that offensive line. With all due respect, not as good as the Cowboys. The Cowboys have the best offensive line when healthy, but the Raiders are right behind it, and they haven't been able to get that running game going the way they'd like to. Looking at Marshawn Lynch and the fact that Carr has had up and down games, what do you think the Cowboys are going to need to concentrate on when they look at the Raiders?
Well, certainly for them, and always when they've lost this year, they haven't ever stopped the run. So first and foremost, they have to stop the run. If they can stop the run, then they can get after the quarterback with their premier pass rusher. DeMarcus Lawrence has come out, and he was leading the league in sacks, 13.5 sacks going to last week's game. And yeah, David Irving on the inside, and he didn't play last week, but should be good to go this week. If they can get the run stopped, they feel they can get to the quarterback even against that offensive line. And again, they need to be able to do that to help that young secondary out against the Raider receivers.
Tell me about Sean Lee and what's it like to cover him from training camp in Oxnard when you see him in the preseason, when he's out, and then when he comes back in, what he adds to that entire organization and what a demon he is on game day when he's really clicking.
Well, you know, and really you look at Sean Lee on defense and Jason Witten on offense, and they're just the consummate pros who do all the right things, say all the right things, go about it the right way. And Witten certainly is not in his prime, but he's an example of having the right attitude and leading by example and never missing practice and really approaching everything the right way, having the right attitude. That same way with Sean Lee. And on top of that, Sean Lee's their best defensive player. He does everything. He diagnoses everything. He makes plays. He's their top playmaker, the only proven playmaker coming up season of any ilk. And then you add into what he does, the way he diagnoses things and gets everybody lined up. There's just a better defense with him on the field. He gets guys lined up, and there's no one who prepares more. He rarely comes in the locker room during the week because he's always studying films, studying it as much and more than the coaches. And sometimes, you know, early in his career, it was funny because, you know, we were talking about this last week with Jason Garrett, and early in his career, he studied so much and knows so much that people play off his tendencies that he was, you know, getting fooled sometimes because he was jumping to play, and now that he's grown and he just had such a feel for the game now, and he doesn't, you know, let his overstudy affect his ability to diagnose what the other team is trying to do. You know, if you just watch him sometimes, you'll see when opposing quarterback calls a play or calls a check, he's getting the guys lined up and he's right there at the ball pick carry at the snap. So he's a joy to watch, joy to follow, joy to cover. And the Cowboys, again, just so much better at the defense with him on the field.
Clarence Hill Jr. is our guest, a great writer from the Star-Telegram. He's phenomenal on Twitter. Give him a follow at Clarence Hill Jr. In your Twitter bio, it says, battle-tested, 2 playoff wins, countless scandals, controversies, unfulfilled expectations. What I love about following you and reading you online is you'll go in there and roll up your sleeves and you'll cover all of these stories. How demanding has this year been so far for you with Jerry versus Roger Goodell, Ezekiel Elliott? This must be one of the more unique years in your history of covering the Cowboys. Is that fair?
It is. But, you know, and I guess it's more unique because social media and the internet has changed things. My first year on the beat, Mike Irvin was going through the drug trial, and Barry Switzer got arrested at the airport with a gun. You know, so it's always been something with this Cowboys team. And, I've had all the Michael Irvin years and Barry Switzer's and Michael Cutness. And one of the first stories I broke was when Michael Irvin had a fight with his teammate and during training camp and cut him with a razor. You know, and it's been like that, you know, throughout the years. You know, again, I talked about the Quincy Carter years, a guy who got cut in training camp, the starting quarterback getting cut in training camp. But the age of internet and social media and everything else just made this year so much different, so much more demanding because, you know, everything is immediate. You don't have to wait till, you know, write the story at night and publish the next day. You have to have it now. And yeah, this has been a crazy, crazy year with all the Elliott stuff, with the Jerry Jones stuff versus Goodell, and now you got the owners' meetings in Dallas. It's crazy. And again, you got a team that's been struggling on top of it, you know, and with the 3-game losing streak, before the past 2 wins. But yeah, it's the Cowboys. It's always, you know, as Bill Parcells says, it's like being in Vegas and being in the big room. It's always the big room. It's always the spotlight. I'm not just competing against the Dallas Morning News and the local TV station. You got Fox and CBS and 25 writers from ESPN and everybody else all want the same story.
What can you tell us, if you can share a story, what you're learning about Jerry Jones and Mark Davis? Because Jerry Jones really looked up to Al Davis, and they had a great relationship when he came into the league. Now Jerry, a part of the vision, and obviously all in favor of Mark and Las Vegas down the road, but there's a lot of unfinished business for the Raiders in Oakland over the next couple of years. What does that relationship look like to you from a distance?
You know, it's almost been like a father-son-uncle relationship to a certain extent, because he certainly looked out for Mark just because Al looked out for him. When Jerry first came in the league, was considered a rebel, it was Al who reached out to him. It was Al who befriended him and taught him the ropes and told him not to back down and fight for what he thought was right. And certainly what Jerry thought was right and the things that he was battling on for the NFL are tried and true. And now, you know, they're integral parts of what the NFL is doing. And he never forgot that. And certainly he's been right there along with the younger Davis and this whole thing in Vegas. I mean, last year when Jerry basically signed a note for them to get the stadium in Vegas. I mean, he spent a lot of time during last year flying to Vegas and picking up the bank note and putting his line of credit out there. You also know that it's his management company, his marketing company, mm-hmm. that's doing all these the marketing for that stadium. It'll be all the food service and everything else. So he's in charge of selling the seats and doing the food for the stadium. So he's committed to the Raiders being successful in Vegas, just like he's committed to the Cowboys. So it's an interesting relationship. And again, you know, Jerry has talked about Al. You know, he actually was on the radio yesterday talking about Al and his relationship with Al. And you know, when they first came into the league and you know, they were coming down here to training camp in Austin in the brutal heat. And Al had one walked in and stopped their practice because they were, you know, hitting too hard and being too physical in August. And he's like, I'm not trying to lose my season in August. And it was relating to the fact that how sometimes Jerry can be meddlesome and walk in and step in and do some things step over his coaches and make some decisions. And certainly Al did some of that stuff with the Raiders. But, yeah, they have a great relationship. And Mark and Jerry and Steven, they're going to have a good time together this weekend.
Well, there could be a preseason game because the Raiders connect with the Cowboys, as you know, in the preseason. But it's probably, I think you'd agree, the last time the Cowboys will ever play in the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. And that's a big deal, Clarence. I think there's going to be a hell of a lot of drama tied into this game. We could have two teams that are both desperate to win, the backdrop of Oakland, an historic stadium, Sunday night football, national audience. I'm expecting a really good football game because the Raiders are coming off a bad performance in Kansas City and obviously Dallas coming off the win against the Giants on the road. These two teams are colliding. It'll be a lot of fun. I hope you like barbecue, man. I'd like to walk you into that parking lot in Oakland and get you some food there if we can hang out a little bit.
Oh, well, we'll have to do that, man. We certainly have to get in touch. And you know, the funny thing is I was worried that this game may be flexed out of a night game because both teams are going bad and where the Cowboys are playing. Certainly if they wouldn't have won the last two games, there were chances it could have been flexed out. But yeah, let's get some barbecue and catch up.
Thanks again to Clarence Hill, who really knows the Cowboys inside and out. That was great analysis heading into this game Sunday night. We always wrap up the podcast by going back to Alameda, the Raiders headquarters. Senior writer Eddie Pascal joins us. And Eddie, it seems like everybody on the team is taking ownership for that loss in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sunday was a bit of a gut check. I mean, you obviously saw Coach's remarks on Monday, and he didn't gloss it over. He said, look, we're frustrated. We're peeved. This was not the brand of Raiders football that we wanted to play. And we came out in arguably our biggest game of the year and we fell flat. And I think Coach did a great job of kind of letting that message come out on Monday, but today on to the next. I mean, as frustrating, as disappointing, as angry as that kind of performance is, I mean, this team has no choice now but to move on to the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night.
Yeah, one more thing about that game. A slow start. Kansas City's like a bulldozer. They start putting up points. The Raider defense was holding Kansas City at some points to field goals when there could have been touchdowns there. I thought the defense did a pretty good job early trying to keep the team in the game. But still, again, we're seeing the same struggles on offense with drop passes, Derek Carr finding a rhythm, and then they get behind early and they can't stay with the running game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. I mean, I think this defense really, you know, you look at the final score, and I think that might not be completely indicative of how this defense played. you know, like you said, they held that Chiefs offense to a lot of three and outs, a lot of field goals in the first half. But, I mean, you look at this Chiefs offense, and they are chock full of playmakers. And I think at some point the levy kind of has to break, and it did break on Sunday at Arrowhead. But, yeah, you bring up a great point about the offense. I mean, it's no secret that this team has kind of surprisingly had a hard time putting up points this year. And, you know, Poge has been asked about it. Derek Carr has been asked about it. Todd Downing has obviously been asked about it. And, you know, at the end of the day, this team somehow, some way, has to figure out a way to put up points and to do it in a hurry these final 3 weeks.
Eddie Pascal joins us from Alameda, senior writer for the Silver and Black. Marshawn Lynch is running violently. We've talked about that the last couple of weeks, but he also brings an edge to Oakland, which I think is important for this Sunday night. He's from Oakland. He plays different in that building in front of family and friends, and I just got to think he's going to have a big game going up against the stars and the size and the recognition of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, I think Oakland or no Oakland, at the Coliseum or not at the Coliseum, I mean, Beast Mode is playing, you know, arguably his best football in silver and black over since he came back from his one-game suspension. I mean, you look at what he did on Sunday, obviously only 7 carries, but, I mean, he was very effective when he was moving the ball or when he was given the ball. And, you know, that's kind of been a theme these past couple weeks. You know, Marshawn, when he gets his opportunities, when he has a chance to kind of do what he does best, you know, he's really done an outstanding job of doing that. And yes, I think you bring up a great point that in Oakland, in front of his family, in front of his friends, in front of, you know, the town, you know, he said when he came here, he goes, you know, these home games, I'm going to have the town riding with me. And I think that's been the case this first part of this year. But, you know, I tend to agree with you that I think if the team wants to find success against, you know, on Sunday night against the Cowboys, it is going to require a heavy dose of Marshawn Lynch once again.
Finally, with Derek Carr and his ability to play a great game, now people are speculating that he's injured more. We work for the team. We're not going to talk about injuries. But when we look at this on this platform here, we're wondering, can he play and take his game quickly to another level? The frustration level, the lack of protection at times, his inability to run outside the pocket, the drops that we've seen so far this year. I just saw an edge to him in that post-game press conference. He was really upset after that game. He said, don't look at the coaches, pin it on me. Another example of his leadership, but he's running out of games to get hot and win.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think Derek has done a great job all year, whether fair or unfair, of kind of taking the blame and putting on his shoulders. And, you know, football is the ultimate team game, right? The quarterbacks always get the praise. They get too much praise when you win. They get, you know, too much, you know, kind of criticism when you lose. But, you know, Derek has, I think it's fair to say he's been frustrated by what's happened this year. I think that collectively a lot of people are frustrated by what's happening. But you bring up a great point. He's got 3 games left. And, you know, while the chance might be slim, while the margin might be slim to none now about getting in the playoffs, this team still has a chance to do that. They're going to need a little help to do it. But if they want to get there, they're going to have to go on the shoulders of number 4. And that's going to have to start Sunday night at the Coliseum.
Hey, I'm sure there's going to be a lot in store Sunday night because of the last home game of the year. Sunday Night Football on NBC, and the Raider organization really knows how to put on a big party. The parking lot will open early. It'll be a capacity-packed crowd. That should be one big night on Sunday night. And again, the last game of the year, that came around quick.
Yeah, seriously, it feels like, you know, we were in training camp a couple weeks ago, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it's gonna be a fun game. It's gonna be an exciting game, and you know, at this point, it's a game that the Raiders absolutely have to have.
Appreciate Eddie joining us. Thanks to all of our guests this week: Kirk Morrison, Clarence Hill, and former Super Bowl champion head coach Brian Billick. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT the Brick. Thanks for joining us on the official Raiders podcast. Next week, we get you ready for the road trip as the Silver and Black goes back to the city of brotherly love to take on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.